my mind where I want to.
Okay. Let's read through. Who wants to read 13 to 17? I have a volunteer to read 13 to 17. We already went over that. Anybody? Go ahead, Danette, 13 to 17. Amen. Okay, now we're going to go quickly over this part because I do want to get to one last point to end, kind of culminate on one point. But this is important. According to this scripture, submission to authority is absolutely God's command. And you could go to Romans 13, 1 and 2 to solidify that. You figure, when was Peter writing this? What was going on in Peter's day as far as government went? Who was in rulership? Nero. Wasn't he a nice guy? Wasn't Rome wonderful? No. But what did Peter say? Be in submission to the authority over you. Now, of course, Peter and the apostles, even though it was against the law, so to speak, for them to preach the gospel, did they still preach the gospel? Yes. We must obey God rather than men. We are supposed to be in submission to authority, and less authority causes us to have to sin against our God. In that case, we choose God. But unless an authority is actually asking you to sin against God, we are to be in submission to authority. Amen? That is God's plan. Authority over us is actually our covering. We should want to have authority over us. And I just want to say this, that even in the midst of a rough society, Ephesians 1:11 makes clear that God is in control of everything. And we submit to authority. In Acts 5, we won't take time to turn there, but I know you guys know these stories. Oftentimes in the Bible, there was corrupt authority. God even uses corruption for his purposes. Isn't that cool? You remember, I mean, every time the Sanhedrin, the high priest, the rulers would beat the disciples and imprison them for preaching the gospel, what would they do? Go out and preach the gospel some more. And the people would say, I can't believe these guys would be beaten like that and then do the same thing. They must really believe in what they're doing. And so God uses even corruption for his own purposes. But generally speaking, as a general rule, we need to be in submission under authority. It's God's plan. Then he also says in verse 15, it's God's will that by doing good, you silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And I can't emphasize enough, when we choose to return good for evil, it shocks people, doesn't it? It absolutely shocks them. And we're going to end on this note. We're going to go to, where's that? Okay. I want us to go to verse 18. Because we've talked about history, and now it's time to talk about math. Who's excited? I waited math. I put it at the end to make sure you'd come every night. Here you are. You're stuck. It would be rude to get up and leave. We're going to talk about math now. Are you ready? This is biblical integration with mathematics. This is like God loves this. He loves math. He really does, by the way. Okay, look at this. Verse 18. I want to explain something to you. I'm going to bring a visual up on the screen. I'm going to jump ahead on my slideshow to show you this. Verse 18, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Isn't that interesting? Peter was saying to Christians, now these were Christians who were slaves. Their masters had total control over them. And he said, you treat your masters with the love of God, with respect. That'd be easy to do if your master was nice to you, right? If they treated you well and fed you well and thanked you for what you did. But he says, those aren't the ones that I only want you to be considerate of. But also respect and be considerate of those who are what? Harsh. Okay. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and then you endure it? In other words, if you're really bad and your dad has to beat you because you were bad and you disobeyed, and you say, oh, I was so good for enduring that beating. No, it's just what you deserved. But this is what the Bible says. It is commendable if you suffer, if you are beaten, if you suffer, if you are slighted in some way, it is commendable if you bear up under that because you are conscious that God is your Lord. Now look at what he says in verse 21. Again, not so seeker-friendly here. Are you with me? Come to Jesus. Why do we come to Jesus? What are we called to when we come to Jesus? A life of ease and luxury and health and prosperity. That is what we have been called to, my friends. If you're listening to this on the internet, this goes a little further. No, that's not the end. That's not what we're called to. Look at what it says. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Look at verse 20. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God, and to this you were called. What were you called to? To suffer for what? For doing good. Wow. He is our example. Verse 22. He committed no sin, and no deceit was ever found in his mouth. But when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. All right, I want to focus on this, and I want to use math to show you a very important concept. It's something I have learned through many years of my life, and it's something every Christian has to abide by. It is a human tendency to lash back, isn't it? To get even. And in life, there's one thing of which I'm sure every one of us is going to suffer in unjustly. Amen? People are going to say things about you that aren't true. They're going to gossip about you. You may be employed at a place, whether your employer is Christian or not, you can be treated wrongly. You are going to suffer injustice. I recently have gone through an experience where I watched a ton of people suffer injustice for nothing that we had done. And some people's tendency in that situation was to lash back. It's never right. It's okay to speak what is right with the love of Christ and in gentleness, but it's never right to try to get even. We were called to do what Jesus did. Amen? Because the ultimate expression of love is to love when you are done wrong. If you can't love when you're done wrong too, you don't really love. Because that's the love of Jesus. We did everything wrong to him, didn't we? And what did he do? He loved us. And when he was on the cross, they accused him of the most horrible things. And the Bible says he never retaliated, did he? And that is what we are called to. And I'm going to show you with math how this works out. You might say, but Shelley, that's hard. How do you do that? Well, let me show you. It all goes back to math, my friends. Do you believe me? No. It does. Okay. How many of you remember in Algebra 1 when you learned about functions? Who remembers algebra functions? The word? The term? Aunt Mary Lou, she remembers. Okay. Let me erase my whiteboard, although I have it up on the graph. Okay, so we're going to learn about algebra functions. I told you guys, I'm going to teach a class one day on math and God. And I expect good attendance. Okay. A function in math is like this simple one. Y equals X plus 3. That's a function. It's a function because X is the independent variable and Y is the dependent variable. Okay? This is the independent variable. Why is it independent? Because it can choose to be whatever it wants to be. But Y is dependent because he is going to depend on whatever X is. Now, let me give you an example. If X is 5, what is Y? 8. If X is 5, poor little Y has no choice as to what he is, right? X chooses to be 5, Y becomes 8. Now, is there anybody who's lost so far? I know you'd be too embarrassed to raise your hand, but we're okay, right? Okay, now, if this is algebra, isn't this fun? Don't you love algebra? If X is 10, what is Y? 13, my friends. That is what you call a function. So, when I first started teaching functions back at Pittsburgh East Christian School, I'll never forget, I think it was Caleb Johannes was his name. I had the tallest, lankiest kid in my algebra class. He was like 8 feet tall, you know, it seemed like it. What I did for that class was I decided to build a function box. Because they say, you know, kinesthetic learning, have them feel it out, have them do it, you know. So I took an old refrigerator box. And I turned it, I put it in the middle of the classroom up at the front, this big refrigerator box, and I called it the function box. And I hung on the outside of the box a big sign that said X plus 3. That was the function. And I said to the students, you are going to go in as an X and come out on the other side as a Y. I'm going to tell you what X you go in as. And you come out the other side as the Y. So I'll never forget Caleb Johannes. He, you know, it was X plus 3. I pinned a gigantic 5 on him. And I said, you are 5 going into the function box. Now, when you go into the box, something magical happens. The function kind of works on you. And you come out the right number. You figure out what it is. Put the right number. Tape it to yourself and come out. And he was so funny. Like, he went in and he actually pretended like something was happened to him. You know, the box started shaking and you could hear all these noises. And he came out an 8 and he did it right. So I taught the kids to do this. I'd put them in the box, tell them to come out, and they did. You know, went in a 5, come out an 8. You go in a 10, you come out a 13. You go in a 24, you come out a what? Okay? Everybody with me so far? That is a mathematical function. You love this, Marty, don't you? Now, did you say yes? Oh, okay, good, good. Just want to make sure because I couldn't hear you. Now, there is a function, and I call it the blood of Jesus function. Because unlike Y equals X plus 3, the blood of Jesus, my friends, is how powerful? How many sins could the blood of Jesus forgive? All of them, right? So how powerful is the blood of Jesus? Infinitely powerful. Do you think about it? The blood of Jesus could potentially absorb every thought, every sinful thought, action, and deed that has ever occurred and will ever occur by human beings. Can you imagine that? I mean, I must have thought or sinned at least 356 quintillion sins myself in my 42 years. Okay? The blood of Jesus, the Bible makes clear to us, is how powerful? Infinitely powerful. Infinity is not a number. It is an expression that means the numbers never end, correct? So let me ask you guys a question. What is infinity plus 1? Infinity. What's infinity plus 20,000? Very good, class. What's infinity minus a million? Still infinity. You can't change infinity, can you? You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It means it goes on forever. I don't care if you take infinity minus 900 billion, you still got infinity. I don't care if you take infinity and you add quadrillions to it, you still have infinity. Does everybody understand that? And the blood of Jesus is how powerful? Infinitely powerful. It's the strongest force in the universe. So the blood of Jesus function looks like this. This is the function of life. And Y depends on X. There are all kind of X's that get added into our heart. Now, how many people in this room would say the blood of Jesus is in my heart? If the blood of Jesus, if you are saved, the blood of Jesus is in your heart. That's the only reason you're going to heaven, amen? It's the only reason you can stand before God. So I, Shelley Prindle, have the blood of Jesus covering over my sins. So what do I have in my heart? Something that is infinitely powerful. Amen. I claim that that blood is in me and can forgive me and has forgiven me of all of my sins, no matter how many, right? It's in my heart. So that blood of Jesus is in the function of our lives if we're Christians. It's in our hearts. There are all kind of X's that go into that function box of your heart. Sometimes people will insult you, right? Have you ever been insulted? I've been insulted many times, okay? When insult comes into your heart as a Christian, what does it have to mix with? What does it have to mix with if it comes into your life? The blood of Jesus. If you're a Christian, it's there. You can't deny it. And how powerful is the blood of Jesus? Infinitely powerful. So if insult mixes with the blood of Jesus, what comes out stronger and unchanged? The blood of Jesus, His what? Forgiveness. No matter what you add, no matter what gets put into your life, somebody does downright evil to you, it has to mix with the blood of Jesus. I never have the right to retaliate, to not forgive somebody. And some people have watched me go through some things lately, and they've said to me, how in the world can you just do, can you just let it, can you just not, what? Because I literally picture this. I'm a graphical person, and I picture, when something happens to me, I picture, Shelley, you have the blood of Jesus in you. If I don't, then I'm not saved. And if I am saved, it's there and I can't deny it. And if that blood of Jesus is there, then whatever comes into my heart has to mix with that blood and gives me the power to say, you are forgiven. Right? There is nothing more powerful. Whether insult comes into my life, if evil comes out, I have to give blessing back. If suffering comes into my life and it's not just, it comes at the hand of somebody else, out has to come trust in God, because this is what Peter said. Look at how he ended this up. He said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, this is what he did. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. What did Jesus do when he was on the cross? He didn't just say, well, this doesn't matter what they're doing to me, did he? No, he looked up and he said, God, my Father, I know that you are going to serve ultimate justice. God judges justly. So it's not like when things are done wrong to me, it's not that I'm just saying, oh, well, who cares? Just do whatever you want. No, I'm forgiving through the blood of Jesus and trusting that my God, when I get to heaven, my God is going to make everything right. He is. He's going to make everything right. For every wrong you have ever suffered, if you endure it by the power of God and you return the right thing, your God is going to make it right for you. Because what does it say about him? He judges what? Justly. No human being may ever understand or may ever know. Don't be quick to defend yourself. Let God defend you. Amen? There is nothing in this universe. I often think of how people who are being martyred for Jesus, how they do it. I often think of Holocaust survivors who give testimonies. How did they endure it? You know how they endured it? They lived the reality of the blood of Jesus in their hearts. If it's powerful enough to save me and forgive me from every one of my sins, it's powerful enough to forgive you when you bring sin against my life. And the same for me to you. Amen? Now, math, pretty cool, right? Functions, the function of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a good note to end it on, isn't it not? Is it good? Good note? Okay, now listen, just one thing that Karen wanted to remind me to say, because a couple people have asked about this. You know, Hope and Passion has a website, and I publish devotions a couple times a week. And if you would like to be on our email list, you can go to the website and access devotions. But if you want an email to come into your inbox and say there's a new devotion to check out, you can come sign up here if you're not already signed up, and we'll put you on our email list. I just wanted to let you know. Or you can go to the website, hopeandpassion.org, and hit the Contact Us button. But if you want to keep in touch with us, and I just want to say I'm so thankful to Norwin Alliance Church. They've partnered with Hope and Passion Ministries to do this year. So I think that we should say praise God for this church. Amen. We have people from all different churches here together being blessed by Norwin Alliance. And in case you don't know, I'll just let you know, Hope and Passion Ministries is also happy to announce that very soon I will be employed by Norwin Alliance Church. So Hope and Passion will be like this with Norwin Alliance, and that is really, really cool. So we're excited about that. I'm going to be taking over for Bob. He's been just done a tremendous job with the youth group here. It's like such a blessing to move in, and I will be the director of youth and young adults. So pray for me as we transition into that. And I just want to say that because I want you to pray for Norwin Alliance Church. They've been very giving and offering this to us all, a community type of event. And pray God's blessings on the church. Yes, Ken. Yes, and that's the other thing I was going to say. That big Lowe's basket out there, that's the Samaritan's Purse offering bucket. So if you want to put your offerings in there as you leave, that would be wonderful. Okay? So thank you all. I want to close us out in prayer. And I pray that God just helps us to keep living by this, right? Because remember what we learned last night. It's not just that we hear it, but he who hears it and what? Puts it into practice. We got to live it out. Amen. Dear Father, praise you. Thank you, Jesus, that when you were on the cross, you endured all that for us. And you decided to entrust yourself to God who judges justly. May we do the same, Lord. May we live each day trusting in you. Lord, convict us. Help us to realize we have that blood of Jesus in our hearts. We have no reason to hold bitterness or to try to get even because, Lord, your blood absorbs it all. Thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the emphasis we've had tonight that you are the God of history and geography. This real world that we walk on every day, this earth, you're coming back to it, Lord, to make it right. You are going to take control. May we not lose sight of that. The enemy wants us to forget about that in the mundane living. But, Lord, we refuse to. We want to stay in your word and stay close to your heart. Keep the bigger picture in mind. Help us to live, seriously, God, with real hope and real passion for you. Because you are the truth. This is your truth. God, I praise you. I pray your richest blessings on Norwin Alliance Church for what they have provided for the community in this Vacation Bible School, not just for the adults and teens, but for the children who've had such a wonderful week. Thank you for Pastor Bob and his life, Lord Jesus, and faithfulness to you and the leadership here at the church. We just want to pray that you continue to guide this church and guide Hope and Passion Ministries to always love Jesus more than anything else we do. And we thank you in his name. Amen.